Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. It's season 28 of Dancing with the Stars, and we are back here on AfterBuzz TV to cover the season premiere. We've got bachelorettes, we've got athletes, and we even had a crazy injury. We're talking all about that today here on the Dancing with the Stars After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dancing with the Stars After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Oh, there it
is. Oh my gosh.
We have our own studio audience here.
Yes, we do.
Welcome, guys. If this is your first time tuning in, we want to say welcome to our show. This is AfterBuzz TV, and this is the Dancing with the Stars After Show. AfterBuzz TV is the ESPN of TV talk. We'll get into a little bit more about what we do later in the show, but this is one of the many shows we cover here at the network. Of course, ABC's Dancing with the Stars, one of the most hotly anticipated season premieres of the year, and we're getting into it tonight. My name is Jeff Graham. If you guys, probably you've seen me before if you're a fan of ABC, because I also do our Bachelor stuff, and I've covered this show for a couple years now, but it's great to be here, and I'm joined by the incredibly credible Carla Beltran. Carla, it's good to have you here today.
Thank you, guys. I'm so excited to be back for another season of Dancing with the Stars.
Of course. I mentioned that Carla's credible because, of course, she's a host who's covered the show before, but you also have like 13 years of dance experience, which is great.
Do,
so
yes.
Carla's going to be our technician, and I will be sort of more of our like doe-eyed fan. This is a fun fact, though. Not everyone knows it. I did perform as a cruise ship vocalist for 6 months for Royal Caribbean, and I played Bob Gaudio in a Jersey Boys tribute show. So if you want to see me step touch,
that
I can do plenty
so
of that.
That is so cool.
You know, snap on two
and four. I think a lot of people
four.
Don't know that.
It's my secret life. If you want to try to find it, it's hard, but you can find our group's reel. It's somewhere online. I'm not going to say where.
Well, things do live in the internet forever.
They live in the internet forever. Okay, well, we're going to get into the show tonight, guys. We will not just be discussing the show, but of course, we will also be discussing some news and gossip. We have some predictions and a lot of hot tea this week about Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you guys saw, but Wendy Williams has some thoughts about Christy Brinkley's injury, end quote. We'll be getting into that. And we also have some updates on Sharna and Artem not being included in this year's cast, which is crazy. But first, we have to talk about tonight's season premiere. Carla, I want to know, overall, what did you think?
Overall, I think we actually have a really, really, really strong group of dancers. I think they were all great. They all have really good personalities, and they brought different things to the floor, which I think is super exciting. It's great to have some diversity.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of things new in the show that I'm still kind of trying to get.
I agree.
You know, because I'm so used to the old format and seeing, like, where they used to go. Even, like, the new Star Lounge was kind of one of those things. I kind of miss the big grand opening that they normally do, but I think it was fun, it was exciting, and there's a lot of fun new talent.
I agree. I will say tonight felt very live in that sense. I felt like it was not the most smoothly technical direction on this episode. A lot of weird camera cuts. We had a really kind of problematic issue with one of the cameras during, I think it was during Karamo's. Oh, no,
yeah.
It was during Kel's. I can't remember. It was during someone's, or that might not even be right. Maybe during Lamar's. I cannot remember.
I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, the camera kind of was like falling. I think it was like during Jenna. Because
yeah.
I think when Jenna was dancing.
So with Karamo. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in general, it just kind of felt like a bit of a... When I say it felt very live, on one hand, I mean that positively because the energy was really high, but there was also kind of a general bumpiness about tonight's broadcast that felt uncharacteristic of this show. That being said, I did think it was a great premiere. A lot of things to really latch on to. A lot of great performances and some definite standouts that we'll be getting in tonight. I do want to let you guys know, speaking of live, we are also live here on AfterBuzz TV, and we have our chat open. So if you want to join the conversation, feel free.
Yes! Hi, guys!
Anyone popping right now, Carla?
Yes, we have Loved By You saying, hi,
always.
Jeff!
Cheers.
Aunt BB, hey. Joseph says Jeff, and Love by You is asking, where is Tiggy? She's actually covering a event tonight, but she will be here for the rest of the season. Do not worry, you guys. There's Tara E., Joseph Bosa. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please do write in the chat, and I will try and read all of your comments as we go.
Great. I love it. Yes, Teague and Carla, I didn't mention you guys, but of course, we miss you so much tonight. Normally, Carla will be in the captain's chair steering the ship, but I am filling in tonight as a gracious substitute. Okay, let's start with, quickly, this opening package. What did you think of everyone coming in and out? You know, saying hi. We found out that, I'm trying to remember some of the jokes here. James Vanderbeek just came for parking validation.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was kind of a funny interview segment, right? Or did it not work for you?
It didn't really work
That's totally
me.
Fair.
Well,
I love it.
Well, there's, like, certain things that I know that shows do that that I sometimes find, like, really corny. I think, like, yeah. You know, it could be entertaining, but I just don't. Or, like, small special segments where, like, they did something on their Instagram and they're, like, running away from the mirror ball. I also, like, I was like, yeah, you know,
didn't
I kind of feel.
That's totally
yeah,
fine.
That
you know what? That's
really,
why.
That's not really, like, I think for, that wasn't really tailored for my generation.
Yeah.
That's tailored for a different generation that likes stuff like that. And I totally. Think Dancing with the Stars has been a show that's been going on for such a long time that they're trying to reach every single, like,
right.
person and different age groups, but they are tailored to a different age group that's not me. So there's certain things that. Don't
Are
really
you calling
me
old,
me.
Carla? Because I
no.
liked it.
Did you like that? Okay.
I'm just kidding. I normally agree with you. Some of those don't play very well. I actually thought this was pretty funny. So
yeah.
I want to credit them this little interview segment. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You know what? We can totally disagree on that. It's totally,
yes.
totally fair.
We can agree to disagree.
Absolutely. Another question I want to ask quickly before we get into coverage. There was this whole kind of energy and vibe tonight about Lem is the head judge and it's his technical rules that stand and no more contemporary. And if you break the rules tonight, we're taking it extra seriously this year. How do you feel about the extra stringent regulations of the ballroom this year?
I think it's not fair.
Yeah.
That's
I agree.
It's not fair at all because we got some of our, and this is not to point out anything, but I mean, Bobby Bones won last year, you
True.
Know? And it's not fair that, like, for me, if you guys watched the show last year, you knew that Juan Pablo was my favorite, and he was such a good dancer. So, like, I just don't think that it's fair to, after 27 years of doing the show, now you decide, like, oh, no, we're going to be, like, really strict on the technique. I don't know if it was because they had some sort of backlash with last year's, like, results or what happened.
I don't know.
But
maybe it is the Bobby Bones thing. That's a really good point you bring up. And he was kind of an unconventional win.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to win America back. But I don't think anyone was asking for this. I don't know anyone who was like, I want more grumpy Lem in the ballroom. Like,
yeah.
Len. Sorry, I just called him Lem. I can't think of a single person who is really excited about the idea of making sure that we maintain frame and hold. I mean, there's the 10% of purists who watch this show, but mostly this is just a casual audience. And
yeah.
I prefer some of the edginess, the pushing, the contemporary. I don't know. I'm not necessarily super excited about totally strict ballroom this season.
Yeah.
But anyone in the chat have thoughts on that? Or?
Well, there's the chat is going up. You
That's
guys
great.
Are awesome. Rotor 13, I agree with you. Pasha is a cutie.
Oh, nice.
Joseph Bosa actually says that Sharna was being punished because Bobby Bones was a lousy dancer.
Wow.
Wah, wah, wah.
We're going to get into Sharna later in the show. But
and Love By You also says that they got a whole new production team, which
yeah.
totally makes sense. You can tell right away just because of the way that the show was delivered with, like, in and of itself. I think that they kept a lot of the same crew, but they did leave a lot. They did keep a lot of people out.
And I appreciate you bringing you up. Well, let me get my words together. I appreciate you bringing that up, Loved By You, because there were some definite differences tonight. I promise we'll get into the dances in a minute, but we're trying to cover the full show. I will say, I did like the new look of the ballroom. I thought
yeah.
It's ironically, that was a lot more contemporary, whereas the feelings of the dances were a lot less contemporary. So you can kind of feel certain initiatives being pulled in one direction and certain initiatives being pulled in a different direction.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it still very much felt like Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to love.
I mean, they were still dancing, so that's great.
They were still dancing. That's all
and
we
they
asked
were still
for.
Stars, so it worked.
Totally. Any last overall thoughts before we get specific?
No.
Okay, let's dive in. First up, Hannah Brown with Alan Bernstein dancing a cha-cha-cha to I Want to Dance with Somebody. What did you think of this partnership? What did you think of this dance?
I like this partnership. Mm-hmm. I actually do like Alan and Hannah together. That's how I feel about the partnership.
Yeah, they've got a nice goofy energy, right?
Yeah.
How about the dance?
I feel like, first of all, she was scored a 20, which I think is totally overscored. Like, she did not perform a 20. Like,
right.
Maybe it was because she was a first dance and they just kind of gave her, like, you know, like, okay. But I think that I wasn't a huge fan of it. I think she did great. For her first dance, everybody did a really good job, but she wasn't, like, magnificent. You could tell that she was a lot in her head. She was trying to hit all the dance. She was really trying to hit the dance moves, but it wasn't really being, like, delivered to, I think, the full extent. I think she has really great potential, like, that she does. She has really great potential. She has a great personality. So I think that she's going to come back with more practice. She's probably going to come back. And I think that right now, this is what she's projecting to me, is that I feel like because of what's been going on with her, from what I could see, I'm not a Bachelor fan or a Bachelorette fan, but from what we saw in the preview is that, you know, she's been going through certain things, so she's coming on the stage where I think she's, like, a little bit shy and nervous for what the audience and how people are going to take her in.
Hmm.
And I think that once she surpasses the thoughts of, like, what are people going to say? You know, my old partner is watching me do this. Like, you know, you feel the pressure. I think once she's like, you know what, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm just going to go ahead and deliver the show, she's going to do so great, because you could tell that she has potential.
Yeah, she needs to let go a little bit. I think she's a pageant girl, and I feel like that energy kind of conveyed itself during her dance.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little stiff. I think, you know, she was hitting the
very
moves.
Very stiff, yeah.
But I just felt like she needs to loosen up, especially in a cha-cha. But I think once she does, I just felt like this was the pageant. It almost felt like this was the talent portion of a pageant show.
Yeah.
Whereas we want to see her dance. So excited to see what Hannah Brown can bring. Bruno says, right attitude. Be careful not to lose balance and don't rush the music. Agree with that. Len said, wonderful way to kick off the show. And Carrie Ann said, you weren't quite under your feet. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah.
For Bachelor fans, we also saw Demi, Tayshia, and Christina in the audience. So shout out to those three. All right. So let's talk about Good Burgers. Let's talk about Keenan and Kel. Were you a Keenan and Kel fan growing up?
No.
I'm going to call to our producer really quick, Josh Alonzo in the booth. Did you watch Keenan and Kel growing up?
Of course I did.
Love it.
I loved it. And what's really interesting about Kel Mitchell is I know he has a bit of a dance, not necessarily a background, but he did host a show on ABC, I believe, called Dance 360.
Oh, nice.
It was a breakdancing competition sort of thing. So I know he has that flair to just like want to have that little bit of a, I guess, how can you say, just, I think
hip-hop experience.
Yeah. I know he could be a good dancer. I know he definitely has that rhythm for
totally. I'm glad you brought that up, Josh, because he did talk a bit about his hip-hop experience on the show. In this case, it was not hip-hop. Kel is paired with, why do I not have my notes?
Whitney.
Kel's with Whit. That's right. So Kel and Whitney, fun partnership. I'm sure Whitney is a Good Burger fan because she's, like, the perfect age for that.
Yeah.
You could definitely tell that this type of formal ballroom was a bit out of Kel's element. I feel like he did not live up to the potential that I think he's going to have on this show, but I appreciated how committed he was to trying to run the ballroom type of technique.
Well, I mean, I think that whenever you come out, his personality is so like, hey, like, look at me, I'm funny. And they even started off the dance with him going down his own tongue.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like silly, but he kind of started off really serious. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is probably going to be a good dance. But I think what messed him up is like right in the beginning when he misses her hand.
Yeah.
That's when he got nervous. And then he was like, I think he got too much into his head. Like, oh my gosh, I already messed up. And then he continued to mess up,
right?
And he kind of started losing his form. He started off doing great, and
I think
it just kind of like ended badly, only because he just got too much in his head.
They were dancing to Sucker by the Jonas Brothers, which I thought was too fast for a tango. Maybe that was part of the problem. Was I just felt like even Whitney, I feel like both of them were struggling to keep up with the song.
Yeah,
maybe they could have slowed the tempo down a little bit. But I think Carla calls those Frankenstein feet. I think we got a little bit of stomping, a little bit of not very graceful.
Yeah.
Either way, the judges felt pretty good about it. Bruno said, good to see your serious side. Carrie Ann said, once you find your groove, you'll be great. And Len said, I like your attack and attitude. Need more heel lead. So that's probably the issue with what we're seeing with his steps. 655. Ooh, I forgot to mention Hannah's dance. We both felt she was a little overscored. 776 for Hannah. 655 for Kel for a 16.
total.
Yeah. I think that that was also a Hannah score. Like, her score could have been a 16.
I feel like Hannah deserved an 18 based on...
Really?
Personally, because I thought she was pretty good. She was just stiff, but...
Yeah.
We're going to move on to Kate Flannery. She might be my personal favorite. Definitely not the MVP of the night, but I'm a huge fan of The Office.
Okay.
I love seeing women a little later in their careers come on this show and kind of have that second coming. I know you didn't watch The Office, but she, her character, Meredith Palmer, was like this trashy, sleazy, broken, multiple divorces, alcoholic, like a very unglamorous character.
Yeah.
Hilarious and lovable character, but super fun to see her play, get to glam up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about her dance?
I liked her dance. I think she was great. She had great personality. I loved her facial expressions. I love a good facial expressions. When you come out and you're like feeling the dance and you can see it in your face, you're not just like, because some people you could tell like they're counting the steps like 1, 2, 3, 4 and like they're, but she wasn't. She was like, okay, I'm here. I'm having fun. And I think it was great. But I lost my train of thought.
I mean, she definitely got some work to do.
She has some work to do, but I think that she has a great personality. She came out and she delivered a great dance for her first dance. I think she did great.
It's funny. I'm watching it back now. For those listening on the podcast, we do have some of these videos on YouTube, and this is better than I even remember it, watching it back. She definitely, there's some techniques she needs to work on, but she's having so much fun.
Yes.
How can you not be on her team, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I liked this choreography. I think Pasha's fun. I just love seeing someone let loose and give it their all, and I'm totally here for Kate this season.
I think Pasha is a great addition to the team, you know? I'm sad to see some people go, but Pasha seems like a great person.
Well, either way, she scored all fives for a 15, even less than Kel. I think she should have at least gotten the same score as Kel,
yes.
Right? To me, they had similarly comparable dances.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Kate before we move on?
Nope.
And quickly, she danced to Hard for the Money. It was a cha-cha. I forgot to mention that, but fun. I'm excited to see more of what Kate brings. Don't forget to vote if you're a Kate Flannery fan. Clearly, I am. All right, let's talk about Khloe Kardashian's ex, Lamar Odom. He danced a foxtrot to Feeling Good. What did you think of this?
Okay. So yesterday, if you guys saw, we did do a pre-show taping. We did a little promo and we talked about what we thought for each person. And I think that when you're tall, it could be a little bit hard to do like certain dance moves because you have to, like, if you're extending a dance move, like your partner might be done before you just because like you either have to go faster to actually like end it, you know?
Right.
And I think that that was a problem with them. I mean, Peta did a great job because to be partnered with somebody who is like that tall, she actually extended her leg kicks higher so that she would at least sort of reach him, you know, and like the costume also helped to extend her dance moves, but I don't think it worked. The height difference doesn't work towards her favor, and but I loved his attitude. He came out, and I think that's from what I've seen and what I've heard of Lamar, like he just seems like he's not really been doing well and like he's been having a tough time with life. That's from the little bit that I know. But right now, seeing him come out on the dance floor and just dance and enjoy. And he was like, the way that he extended his leg out at first, and he was like, okay, leg here, leg over here. I thought it was really cute. And I think that he was totally underscored, and it was so not fair because, like, I mean, the guy is so tall. Like, what can you, like, there's only so much you can do, especially in the beginning.
I know. Yeah, like, I don't really know what else they could have done here. I mean, I think Peta did a great job with the choreography.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not the most natural mover, but at the same time, when you're that tall, it is hard. I don't know what this move is called, but in a foxtrot, when the partner drags your...
The partner, that's not possible.
Yeah, like, Peta was like this. If you're watching on the YouTube, my hands are totally out of frame. It looked like a daughter being dragged around at a father-daughter dance, just pulled across the floor.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm really glad Carrie Ann credited Lamar for at least holding frame.
Yeah.
A lot of people, in fact, I think Ray Lewis did this tonight. A lot of taller people or big guys, they hunch. They're hunchers, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to engage with their partner and get down to their level. But Lamar held frame the whole time. He looked pretty
steady.
Yeah, he
stayed tall. He was like, okay, I'm not going down for you.
Right. I agree with you about his attitude. It's fun to see him sort of let go and try to let the process do what it does. So I was glad that Carrie defended him. She gave him the only decent score. She gave him a 5, and then there were 2 threes, which is brutal.
I think the threes were too low. I don't think that we should ever give anything lower than a 5. I think that to give a 3, it's just like, that's rude.
It's kind of insulting. I'm okay giving it a 4. Like, I think maybe 4s I would have been okay here, because it wasn't great, but it just feels like kind of a slap in the face.
A for effort, you know?
Right. Any thoughts in the chat? I feel like people are going to have thoughts on Lamar.
They were saying that he was so funny to watch because he's a giant.
It was.
In
we were kind of cracking up watching this. I got
to
be honest. PETA was giving it her all, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. And that TriniBWoy27. If I say your handle wrong, I'm so sorry. I'm out here trying my best. He said that I will give credit that Lamar did not hunch over to meet PETA.
Yeah, absolutely, which is not easy. So I wish them the best. It's really fun to see PETA back. Considering she just had a kid, she looks great.
Yeah, she does.
Way to go, PETA.
And she looks so different with, like, long hair. You know, I'm so used to seeing her with, like, her short hair, so.
Totally. All right. This is kind of fun. Country singer Lauren Alina dancing to Man, I Feel Like a Woman. And Lauren's partner is Gleb.
Yes.
What did you think? First of all, are you a Lauren Alina fan?
No, I don't know who she is.
I'm not aware either. If it's anything like Bobby Bones, I'm assuming she has a large following with whom
like
I don't have much crossover.
Yeah.
But this was fun, right? I thought she was great.
Yeah, she was... Okay, first of all, when she started pointing, I was like, okay, she actually has a really good point, which is great. So she started off doing really good. And then, of course, like... I mean, she had to do a cha-cha. So it's like a cha-cha is obviously a little bit difficult. But I think she did pretty good overall. She has a really great attitude, and I love that I was able to see her personality kind of shine through to this dance. And she was like, I'm here, and I'm enjoying this, I'm dancing. And yes, her moves did get stuck a little bit on her legs, but I think that it's something that you could totally work on and loosen up. You know, the key for dancing is just to be loose and let the music take you.
Right.
And she already has the music and the rhythm within her.
I agree.
She just has a different rhythm, so she just has to get acclimated to all
tons of musicality, though.
Yeah.
Like, and I actually really like this choreography from Gleb too. I thought it was super fun.
Yeah.
I think it's what she lacks a little bit in technique and sharpness, she really makes up for in charisma and performance. That's what the one nice thing with singers is, they come in and they know how to perform.
Yes.
You know, like Hannah, for example, Hannah Brown did a great job technically, but didn't really perform.
Mm-mm.
Whereas, you know, there's lacking some technique here. It's a little loose, but so much performance charisma. Really fun to watch. And you feel like you're getting to know the person through their dance. That's when it's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
She said she was nervous, which I didn't know. I didn't realize.
It didn't really come through.
No.
You know, TriniBWoy27 says that Lauren and Hannah remind him of each other. I don't know if TriniBWoy is like a boy or a girl, so I'm sorry if I'm calling you him and you're actually a girl.
I think Trini's a good guy. Let us know. I know you're always tuning
in. Let us know, so if you are, I will remember. That they remind him of each other. So does that kind of like... affect it a little bit of like maybe how you judge some sort of things?
Their personalities are similar, but I think
their personalities are similar and they kind of do sort of look alike. They resemble each other, but the other girl, they both are kind of similar.
I feel like to me their dance styles feel totally different,
but their dance styles are different, so that's probably what will set them apart.
I think so too. Yeah, to me Lauren's very loose and performery, whereas I feel like Hannah's pretty technical and a little pageanty, so we'll have to see how that plays. Either way, 7-6-6, pretty good scores compared to the rest of the night, and
I think
she deserved
that score. Yeah.
I do as well. All right, let's talk about this crazy twist with Christie Brinkley and her daughter, Sailor. First of all, I cannot believe they aired that footage of her breaking her arm. I mean,
I know.
Dancing with the Stars does this all the time, but... it was kind of brutal. First of all, she was trying to do her footwork and she tripped over Val's foot. Which
was it
crazy.
That or that she slipped over her own dress?
No, it looked like she tripped on Val's foot. At least that's what I saw. We just watched the show, so if I'm wrong there, let me know. You can let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
But this was crazy. You know, right when she fell, you know, she's not young and her body probably...
she's 65.
Yeah, and you know, by the time you've been alive for 6 decades, your bones just aren't quite what they used to be.
Yeah.
Of course she faced this injury. Do you feel like the show produced this the right way? Did you like bringing in Sailor? What did you think?
I think that it was really great for her to bring her daughter in. You know, I mean, it was a new opportunity, and it was unfortunate that she had to go through an injury. I mean, you don't you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure this has happened before where people, like, twist their ankle or something happens and they have to, like, step down. But it was, I just think it was crazy that this happened, like, literally, like, 3 days before, and her daughter had to come in and just, like, learn a choreography within, like, 3 days. I think that's, like, the most shocking thing, because they normally had 3 weeks, and, like, 3 days is really not a lot of time to just, like, meet your partner, kind of go through it all, and be ready to perform within, like, a few days, you know?
Totally. 20 seconds on what you thought of the dance, on Sailor's Dance.
I was actually kind of surprised about what the judges were saying, because they were like, oh, you have a great potential. And I'm pretty sure she does have great potential, but I don't think she was, like, that great. She did give a good dance for 3 days to prepare. But, I mean, I don't think it was, like, wow, phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, again, for 3 days, it was great. I was very moved seeing her interact with her mom. I think she had really nice lines, and she had a lot of grace, which you need in the Foxtrot. But
also, sometimes, like, with their outfits, it's very difficult to see their footwork.
Yeah.
So this dress definitely did not help, because there was times when she was doing certain things, and I couldn't tell because the camera was catching the side where her dress was at. So I couldn't really see, like, her movements as well as when I went on the other side. And I was like, okay, like, she messed up here, here, and there.
Right.
But I couldn't really see the whole...
I agree.
The whole dance.
Another thing I noticed with this dance, I think with Foxtrot, there's a lot of elements where, you know, you're spinning your partner or sliding your partner, and I felt like there was trepidation with those moves.
Yeah.
I think it's clear that Val and Sailor haven't had time yet to build that trust, but this was a pretty solid coming out, and how cool to see her with her mom. That was, like, very sweet.
That was super cute.
Definitely. Okay, 666, Carrie Ann said... You're a definite potential, a gold mine here. Lem said she floated his boat, which makes me a little uncomfortable. And Bruno said, you have the talent. I can't wait to see what you achieve. Christy has screws in her arm, and she's a bionic woman now.
Yeah, basically.
666. Let's talk about Karamo and Jenna.
Yes.
Karamo's your guy.
Yes, Karamo is my guy.
You're a big Queer Eye fan.
I am a big Queer
Who's
Eye
not?
Fan.
It's
I
a great
know.
Show.
I actually... started watching Queer Eye with my mom. We were like, okay, like, let's watch a show together so that we have something to do. I just kind of, like, I think I'm at that age where I enjoy doing, like, different things with my mom, and I was like, I want to be able to watch a show with my mom.
This is the show I watch with my mom. Dancing with the Stars is how I keep in touch with my mother in Ohio.
Oh,
just
really?
So you guys know.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, I love that. So you know, you understand, like, when you start watching a show and you watch it with your parents, and it's like, and it, Queer Eye is such an emotional show, and it gets you in such a good feeling and a good vibe, and Karamo is great, you know?
Yes.
He's, like, he's the person that talks to people, and he makes people cry all the time. He's made me cry multiple times, and sometimes the questions that he asks, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so relatable. So when I found out that he was going to be in Dancing with the Stars, I was like, I was like, this is my guy. Like, I'm rooting for him. I will vote for him every single week, and I'm going to get all my friends to vote for him as well.
How did you vote the dance, though?
The dance was, I thought it was great. I mean, knowing Karamo and knowing his personality from, I mean, I don't know him personally, but from Queer Eye, is that I actually do agree with what the judges said, that he didn't, his personality didn't actually shine as much as I thought it was going to, because he's so, like, out there. But I also think that, what this is my thing with, like, sometimes I think that the pros don't do a great job sometimes at choosing the right song.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
And I think that this song that they chose for their salsa,
it was Juice by Lizzo.
Yes. I don't think that was a good salsa song. You know, it didn't really bring the... I think that if Karamo would have gotten a more traditional salsa Latin salsa song, he would have actually been able to bring
hip
the
action.
Extra hip action, the extra salsa that you need, like the spiciness that comes with a salsa.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have the right song, it's like when you're getting ready or you're getting ready to go out. If you have the right song, you're like, okay, I feel good. I'm ready to go out. I look good. And I just think that the song really didn't
do him
much
favor.
I
agree. The spirit of the song was right, but the tone of the song wasn't quite right. And I really like Lizzo, so it's too bad. But I also, this was very frustrating in the way it was shot. It was really hard to see Karamo's feet.
Yeah.
This, I'm almost 95% sure Karamo's was the one with that shaky camera work.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like, as much as I like Karamo and I'm excited to see what he can do, this, he really didn't live up to his potential here. The judges agreed. They came down on him hard. Lem said disappointing and lacked rhythm. He was very grumpy during this, I gotta say, Len. Carrie Ann said, you underperformed. You gotta pop more. He got a 6, a 5, and a 6, which I think feels fair.
Yeah, I mean, he got got a 17, which I'm actually okay with. Yeah. If he would have gotten anything lower, I probably would have been really upset.
Definitely.
But Colin McDonald in the chat says that it wasn't a salsa at all. I felt like it was a freestyle, which I kind of like do agree to a certain extent. There wasn't a lot of like the spicy salsa movements that I like to see.
Definitely. So, Jenna gets a little loose with her choreography, and she needs to be careful because they're coming down hard this season.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a minute for the last four. Let's talk about Ray and Cheryl. They danced Hot in Here salsa. Josh, I know you're a Ray Lewis fan, so quickly, do you want to talk about the squirrel and its importance in NFL history?
Sure. So Ray Lewis was the type of guy who would always do this dance at every pregame ritual.
Yep.
He would get announced at M&T Bank Stadium over in Baltimore, Maryland, and the fans would go nuts. Like, he would have literally pyrotechnics coming out of the tunnel, and he would just pick up a piece of grass, dance around, do the squirrel, and then that was just, like, the thing, and that's what motivated all his teammates and everything. It was insane.
I love it.
That's so cool.
All right, quickly, how did you feel about Ray and Cheryl doing this salsa to Hot in Here?
I thought it was a modern salsa, and it was so fun. I really liked his energy, you know?
It was really sexy.
It was so sexy.
I always forget,
so
if you... In terms of who brings the sexiest choreography, it's funny because I feel like when you see Cheryl in interviews or packages, she doesn't always like really push her sexuality forward.
Yeah.
But on the dance floor, she's always the one who's pushing
the really sexy choreography. Cheryl,
yeah, this was a really sexy number. I got to say, for a 44-year-old dude, he probably brought the most like sex appeal all night, right?
Compared
to the other guys. Really, I thought this was fun. I think I mentioned I thought he was hunching a bit to match Cheryl. So I'd like to see him stay a little bit, you know, more supported in his posture, but really solid.
Yeah. I have to say one of the things here, though, is that the scores, I mean, what the judges were saying, like, did not match the score that
they gave
him.
This was great. Great potential. 5-5-5.
He was so underscored.
So underscored.
Underscored. Major. Especially, he at least deserved a 17.
Yeah, just for charisma alone, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to Mary Lewis.
Mary Wilson.
Thank you, Mary Wilson, of the Supremes. They danced to Baby Love by... they danced to the song Baby Love, and they did a foxtrot.
Yes.
Mary's partner is...
Brandon.
Brandon, thank you. This is a fun partnership.
This is such a fun partnership. I love it. And I just have to say, age is only a number.
Yes.
But when I get to be 75 and a half... I want to look half as good as she does and be able to move as good as she does. You know, she was so elegant throughout this whole foxtrot. Like, she just was like, you know what? I'm the queen and I know it.
Totally.
And that's what she delivered. Like, it was so beautiful to watch her just, like, dance and like, on the dance floor, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
I appreciated her performance.
Totally. It's very elegant, right? Yeah. I feel like she was bringing the elegance and grace they need for a foxtrot. Maybe not the most challenging choreography. And it did feel like she was missing moves, but...
She did,
I think she brought the energy that you need to carry an elegant foxtrot.
I think that Brandon kind of went easy on this one.
Yes.
Because, like, at the foxtrot, you could go all out. And I think that he was like, you know, let's play it safe and do some easy dance moves that she can do. And I think it was great. I think it was great to play it safe for them.
I do, too. I will say, though, it almost feels like they overscored her a bit. In terms of the comments, Carrie Ann says, you were built to do the foxtrot, but you had mistakes. Len said, I'd like to be able to come out and foxtrot as well as you did. Don't turn me on, Mary. Is there a potential senior romance developing between Len and Mary? Maybe that's the showmance of
the
season.
Maybe. I hope so.
We will see. But either way, she got a 5, a 6, and a 6, which is 2 points higher than Ray, 2 points higher, or 1 point higher than Allie. To say that this was better than Allie's routine is insane.
Yeah. It's
right?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
They totally overscored her, but I mean... She's a Supreme, so...
Fair enough. That's a good point. Maybe she deserves a little bit extra love. Speaking of Allie, she was up next with... Allie is dancing with...
Sasha.
Sasha, thank you. I wrote down Alan. We just watched the show, guys. We took as well of notes as we could. But Sasha and Allie, this is a fun partnership, right?
This is a fun partnership, yeah. I actually loved her dance. I think that she was totally underscored.
Yeah.
Allie is a performer, and she came out and she performed, and she
totally.
Did a great performance. Her footwork was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I think that she had one of the top dances of the night. Like, definitely.
I think, yeah, she may have almost been overperforming a bit, which is natural. You know, she's a pop singer.
Yeah.
She's used to performing in arenas, so it's her job to be hitting this choreography really hard. And I agree, she was a little bit on top of the beat. I'd like to see her sit back a bit and like lean into the pocket of the music so that she can really take a time.
In this dance, she was leading Sasha.
That's a good point.
And you know, a lot of it comes down to like, okay, well, the man should be leading within the dance.
True.
And like, so I think that's kind of, that didn't work towards her favor.
Yeah.
But I mean, go for it, girl. You
for
know?
Sure. Yeah, I think I'm getting like a little bit of Normani vibes, which of course makes sense. They're from the same group, right?
Yeah.
Or even like Tinashe. Like a lot of times when you see female pop performers come on here, they need to scale back on the pop elements and lean into the ballroom elements. But amazing potential. I mean, to me, she's a front runner, and yet they scored her 5.56, totally underscored.
So underscored. That was at least an 18.
Yeah.
At least a 6.66.
I agree with that. Maybe even sneak a 7 in there.
Yeah.
Carrie said she's lacking balance. I thought that Carrie Ann said she's lacking balance. That's the most accurate critique for me. Mm-hmm. She just needs to learn the light and shade, as they say on this show, right? Okay, let's talk about Sean Spicer wearing a green flamenco shirt. Quickly, just so you guys know, I know there's a lot of controversy around Sean Spicer being on this show. We totally understand why, right? He's Donald Trump's press secretary. Clearly, Donald Trump is one of the most divisive presidents in the world and in, you know, American history, partly fueled by the way his press team handles his business. So we understand that Sean is a divisive figure, but we're not here to critique his political state. We're here to talk about him on the show.
Yes.
It was fun to see Twitter react to this, first of all.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Sean Spicer. What did you think?
I think that he definitely tried his best. He didn't really perform or dance, but he came out and he was having fun. And
we have a photo for those looking.
Yeah. I just think that he definitely needs to work on absolutely all his dancing.
Everything.
The footwork, the frame, the everything. But I love the spirit. He came out and he was like, okay, I'm ready. And just the fact that he even wore the outfit that he was given and he wasn't like, oh my gosh, you know, like this is too much or it's over the top. And he just came out and I was like, that's awesome. You know, that's a great spirit to come out with.
Yeah, you know what? I do think this show is going to be a net positive for him.
Yeah.
However you feel about Sean Spicer, which you're totally justified to feel the way you do because he does have a very controversial and, you know, lightning rod couple years as Trump's press secretary, he was all in on this, and I think he's doing a good job of yielding to the process of the show. So it'll be interesting to see how America receives his performance. I did see one tweet that said, clearly Dancing with the Stars costume designer is a Democrat, which you just have to give it up. That's a hilarious tweet. I agree with everything you said. A lot to work on technically, but I think this is going to be a net positive for his image.
Mm-hmm.
I am somehow missing a page of my notes, so I'm going to cheat on you. Do you have his scores?
I don't have his scores individually, but I know that it was a 12.
A 12 total, okay.
Yes.
That feels... Which, I think it was 4-4, or 3-4s, is what I remember,
right? I think
so. Okay.
Which that is insulting, because Lamar did much better than he did.
Yeah.
And, like, they both had a really great energy, so if he could have gotten 2-4s, then he could, like... Lamar could have also gotten 2-4s.
Totally. Well, let's wrap it up with what could be argued as the strongest performance of the night. James Vanderbeek and Emma Slater. Love Emma. Love this partnership. First of all, how can you not fall in love with James Vanderbeek,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Very likable. Fun to see a father of five doing his thing on this show. When that dance started and he did a little hand swoop, double turn, kneel, you're like, okay, clearly this guy can move.
Exactly. You can tell that he's been on a stage before, that he lives off his audience, and I think that it was great. You know, I think that he did really well, and... In all honesty, I think this was the best performance of all night.
I do, too. It was a tango. We forgot to mention that, which is tough to come out to. And I always love Emma's choreography. It's both really classic, but also kind of innovative.
Yeah, I mean, and for the tango, it's kind of, like, hard, you know, because you do have to keep a really good frame throughout the whole dance. And I think he did great. I am really excited to see how far he's going to go with this.
Totally. I like their partnership. I feel like both Emma and James kind of have an underdog... Probably easily underestimated because of their, like, sweetness.
Yeah.
But, like, they can kill it when they're on the dance floor.
They're a very likable couple.
For sure.
So I think that they're going to go really far in this competition.
Definitely. All right. That's our coverage for tonight's show. Obviously, we had a ton to get through. We don't have much time, but we're gonna breeze through these segments.
Yes.
We're going to do a quick top three for you guys and bring you our top three jives of all time from this show. For number three, we have... Just remind me, Josh, because my eyes aren't as good as they should be.
Sure, it's Sabrina and Mark.
Yes, Sabrina, Brian, and Mark Ballas brought a really fun jive in the early seasons of this show. Let's roll it. Sabrina has such a fun energy about her on the dance floor, doesn't she?
She does.
You can fast forward a little bit, Josh.
I love Sabrina.
I think there's going to be, yeah, we don't need to see. Yeah, this is good. Look at how just quick, how much energy she has in this jive.
She has the energy. She has the personality. She has, like, I love her.
Yeah, so much fun.
I kind of miss seeing her and stuff.
I feel like this level of dancing, I haven't seen it yet, at least on this season of the show. And that was week three, so God bless Sabrina Bryan. All right, up next we have, I think this is...
Alfonso and
Whitney.
Yes,
of course Alfonso and Whitney. Alfonso's beloved on the show now. This is, talk about energy and a jive. This was just such a fun partnership.
Of course Alfonso was amazing.
What was it about Alfonso that, was he just so loose? Is that what made him so great on the show?
Yeah, I think so. He was just... You know, he's very confident, and with any dance move, like, he was just like, okay, I'm okay with performing. Like, in order to be a good dancer, you need to have a lot of confidence to be able to do certain moves, and he had it.
Just, like unexpected swag is, like, how I would describe Alfonso Ribeiro. Okay, finally, so this was the Proud Mary that initially Paige did with Mark, but then they redid it and actually had Jordan Fisher do it with Paige. Fast forward a little bit, Josh, just so we can see some of the... fast part. Look at these two go. The fact that neither of them were pros. Gosh. Is Jordan Fisher the best dancer to ever be on this show, do you think?
Maybe.
It could be. Either way, Paige and Jordan.
He was really good.
Yeah.
You know that I'm a huge Juan Pablo fan.
I know. Juan Pablo
was
great.
Amazing.
Last year.
Like, he was so good the whole time.
Juan Pablo did have an amazing jive, so that could be an honorable mention, which is totally valid. So that's our top three jives from the show. Quickly, for our special segment, we're going to give you guys a little bit of history on some of the dance moves they're doing this. Oh, I like this Latin music. So, Josh, I'm going to throw it to you. Can you give us a little bit of history on the cha-cha? Because we had a lot of cha-chas tonight on the show.
Sure. So the cha-cha actually originated in Cuba, and it evolved from a slow version of the mambo called the triple mambo. And it was pretty much just a musical rhythm inspired by dancers to dance more of a hip syncopation to the forward and backward breaks of mambo.
Hip action.
Yeah, and it evolved actually from a fusion of dancing, sun, and American jazz.
Ooh.
And it has origins from Europe, from chamber music specifically, and African and Haitian drums.
Okay.
Specifically, a Cuban violinist by the name of Enrique Jorin actually created the cha-cha and first cha-cha song in 1948. He named it after the shuffling of feet from the dancers. So if you notice, when people are shuffling their feet, it kind of sounds like cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's that cha-cha-cha, that 1-2-3 move that you do. Step,
and
cha-cha-cha.
That's the history of cha-cha.
Very cool.
Well,
I appreciate it. We'll bring you guys some more ballroom dance history on the show because, of course, Dancing with the Stars pays homage to the classic global art form of partner ballroom dancing.
Exactly.
We have some crazy news this week around Sharna, Artem, and Christy. So, Carla, take it away.
I don't have a lot of time to cover this, but I'm going to do this as fast as I can and as good as I can. So, Wendy Williams came out today, and she says that Christy Brinkley faked her injury. She says that if there's anything that she broke, it probably would have been her tailbone. And she says that she probably planned this ahead of time because she wanted to get her daughter on the show. They do say that her daughter is a Sports Illustrated model, but nowadays beauty is not enough, and it doesn't add up to Kendall Jenner, who is literally the world supermodel. So I think Wendy Williams is saying that the reason why she probably brought her daughter on here is to show that she is multi-talented and she's beautiful and this and that. So that is kind of like the tea on that. That she basically faked their injury to get this daughter.
I would be so pissed if I had screws in my arm and I found out that I had a talk show host telling me I was faking it. But that is a very, very hot take and an interesting conspiracy theory. Let us know what you think in the comments.
I know, seriously. And then the last one, which I was actually super upset about, this is the fact that Sharna was cut from Dancing with the Stars this season, along with
Artem, which is crazy.
Two bigger stars. And I don't mind Gleb and Pasha. They were both great new additions, but I think that Dancing with the Stars is a show that you've grown up with, like, having a long time, so it would be great to kind of keep the cast. And Sharna kind of came out and she spoke about it. She says that she wasn't really given a real reason besides the fact that they couldn't find her a partner, and that they're wondering if it was because she won last year with Bobby Bones, and she says that she doesn't feel anything badly towards them, that she will be joining in the audience to be there and support her family. She still thinks that they're a family. She has no idea if she's going to be called back to do another season next year or the year after. But she is being thankful at the fact that this happened, and she is thanking the universe because right now a couple of other doors open up to her. So hopefully we'll be able to see her doing other things, and we're going to miss her so much. Yeah. Sharna is one of my favorites.
Me too.
I think she does such wonderful choreograph, and she was able to work with one of the hardest people that like to dance with, and she was able to work with that. And I think
totally.
That she
I love Sharna
great.
Too.
She's going to be missed.
Obviously,
along with Artem, you know?
I know, both of them. Sharna, incredibly talented, amazing choreographer, and you know, we're allowed to have our show crushes on this show, right?
Yes, of course.
I must admit, if I had to pick my show crush, it definitely would have been Sharna. So maybe we can get her in studio and I can be totally awkward with her. All right. In lieu of predictions, as we make our way out, you have to pick who you think is going to win this season of Dancing with the Stars. Because we're wrapping out, guys. We got to get out of here. I know it's so much to cover.
Can I say who I want to win and who I think
yes,
is going to win?
As we make our way out and you say your Twitter, say who you want and who is going to win. And
well,
then we're going to get out of here.
First of all, you guys, thank you so much for tuning back in. I am your host, Carla Beltran. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Carla Beltran. And I obviously want Carmo Brown to win. Who I really think is actually going to win is honestly Mr. Dawson Creek.
Yeah.
Jameson.
I agree.
Yeah.
Guys, Jeff Graham, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham, and also covering the Bachelor in Paradise finale tomorrow because I am a ABC whore, apparently. Who I would want to win, I would love to see Kate Flannery win. I'm a huge comedy nerd, love The Office, and I like what she's bringing to the season. Kate Flannery is probably not going to win. I think it could be James Vanderbeek, too.
Yeah,
we'll
there
see.
You go.
All Bye. Right, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week up for Dancing with the Stars. Bye.
Ciao.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.